We're all here just cheering for each other. We're not here to whatever, be a know-it-all or whatever, you know? Just here to cheer for each other. And that singing we do is a form of cheering for each other. Did you know that? Good, thank you for that head shake, little lady there, Nancy. You know that, right? It helps us reach the energy within each other. And then when somebody gets up here and shares their thoughts with us, like this person is going to do here this evening. Well, this case is rare, because all you do is fall in love with him. And you sit there and go, oh, wonderful. Oh, he's so wonderful. Oh, I love him. Oh, that's what you're all going to do while you sit there. You're getting ready for that, are you? Good. You ready for it? Yeah. Oh, and Bill's snickering over there. Yeah, see, rubbing his chin now. He's got the little hair on there. He can scratch his fingers by rubbing his own chin. This life is so grand, everybody. Isn't this a wonderful world we live in? Is your heart really happy, everyone? Is it?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's just a little wrinkle you're going through right now, honey, and just a little wrinkle. So, but the gentleman that's going to share his thoughts with tonight with us is just a fantastic man, in my estimation. If he was only about 30 years older, I'd marry him, even if he didn't ask me. And that is our look back there at him. Look at that. He wanted to look in the mirror to see himself. Did everybody notice that? Yeah. Did you notice that, Charlene? Oh, boy, no. It's somebody. It's not just me. Everybody loves our George Thorne.
She just did?
No, he's too young.
How's everybody doing tonight? Yeah. So I thought I'd start out with a little joke. So this burglar goes into this house late at night, right? He starts shining his light around, looking for what he can steal. He finally sees his loot. He sees stuff he wants to take. As he reaches for it, he hears, "Jesus is watching you." Kind of freaks the burglar out, right? And he looks to see who's talking to him, and he doesn't see anyone, so he goes, "Okay, it must be in my imagination." And so he keeps going, putting stuff in the bag, and he hears this voice again, "Jesus is watching you." And he looks around, all startled, and he sees a parrot. And he goes, "Who are you?" the burglar asks. And the parrot replies, "My name is Moses." And the burglar goes, "Who would name a parrot Moses? And the burglar laughs, and he keeps going around his work. The parrot says, "I don't know," Moses answered. "I guess the same kind of people who would name a Rottweiler Jesus." More serious note. I want to share some thoughts with you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has to come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know, Mary, did you know, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Ever since Millie asked me to speak, I felt this song had to be included in my talk, and initially I really didn't even know why, but I love these words. Every year at Christmas, I play it over and over and over again. I ask myself why, and sometimes I listen to it so much that I'll be honest, it makes me cry. What is there to this song that moves me so much? Actually, I think in these times we need to hear it over and over again, and not only at Christmas. I find it to be a song of great hope, a song filled with possibility. I hear it beyond the words. In this song, I feel spirit. I sense a greater reality. Above all, I feel great joy, a joy of what is available to us all, a joy that I never knew most of my life until I found God. It speaks to the truth of who we really are or who we can really be. But I finally figured out why I had to include this song in my talk, because tonight I want to talk to you about football. Yes, football. Bear with me when I'm done. Hopefully it will make sense to you. Hopefully. A dozen or so years ago, a close friend of mine, a high school football coach, invited me to go to a Chargers football game. Now, I don't really care that much about football, as most of my friends know. Only both of my sons played it. They played it really well, and I love watching them play. So I went to the game without any great expectations, just to have fun watching with my friend. But boy, was I in for a big surprise. I couldn't believe how much beer is consumed at a professional football game. By the time they play the Star Spangled Banner, before the game, half of the fans are already in the bag. As they mumble the words, "The Rockets' red glare," the fireworks go off. They're already wobbling to attention and salute as the planes fly by. By halftime, the suds are really flowing, and so are the fans. Unlike the players on the field, these guys are feeling no pain. Pretty soon, the guy wearing the Chicago Bears jacket is calling out the guy wearing the Chargers jacket, "Oh yeah, Chicago is going to whip your..." Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Who are these guys? There sure are a lot of them. Do you know that during the average NFL football game, they are, as they call it, an average of 50,000 pours per game? That means 50,000 beers are served over the course of 3.5 hours in 4 quarters on a Sunday afternoon, just after church. At $8 to $10 a beer, that's close to $500,000 of beer per game. That's a lot of beer money. But there's a bigger question here. As I left the stadium that day, I thought, is that all there is? Is this it? Give me a 12-pack of Budweiser? Let me watch 22 large men, all of whom are millionaires, pound on each other? Have I now arrived? Am I in heaven? Really? Who are we as a people? After all, football is the national pastime. Where are our heads? Where are we going? Who are we? Okay, now let's take a look at football from an entirely different perspective. Let's go down on the field where the players are, where the game is played. Let's look at one player in particular who played the game of his life Monday night, January 7th, just a couple of weeks ago. His name is Trevor Lawrence. He's 19 years old. He's only been out of high school for a year. He's now a freshman at Clemson University in South Carolina. He's also the starting quarterback for Clemson, and he had to face the dynasty of college football, Alabama, in the National College Football Championship. The Crimson Tide is the Fort Knox of football. They've won 17 national championships. Adding to the pressure, there are 28 million people watching the game. No surprise then that the lights and cameras were blaring at the game, where fans paid $1,000 a ticket that night for admittance. That's $1,000 for a ticket. Screaming fans, glaring lights, bands playing, national television audience in the millions. A football dynasty waiting to eat you alive in the middle of it all, a 19-year-old boy. talk about David and Goliath. What happened, you ask? David won. Trevor Lawrence demolished Alabama 44-16. This skinny 6'6" man-child tore up Alabama's defense. The freshman quarterback, this 19-year-old, who last year was a senior in high school, passed for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns. He destroyed the legend of the dynasty. The Clemson fans went wild, confetti flew, the band played. He handed Alabama their worst bowl loss ever. His college town threw a parade for he and his teammates when they returned home. The adulation continues to pour into this day. Yet, what was amazing about this event? This young man's demeanor never changed. He wasn't any different after the game than he was before. He had a big smile on his face, yes, but he seemed so calm, so in control, so steady, peaceful, and content. In the meantime, the critics were going wild. They said he could play pro football today, they said. He may be the best ever. Still, how can this man be so young and have so much poise? How can he possibly have all this innate sense of himself through all of this noise? More important, is he thinking ahead now to when he's going to get a $100 million contract to play in the pros? Let's see what Trevor Lawrence has to say about it during an interview. Football is important to me, obviously, but it's not my life. It's not the biggest thing in my life. I would say my faith is. That just comes from knowing who I am outside of that. No matter how big the situation is, it's not really going to define me. I put my identity in who Christ thinks I am and who I know he says I am. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what people think about me or how good they think I play. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Football, it's just a game, right? Like every game, though, it depends on how you play it. Win or lose, it doesn't really matter if you know who you are and what's really important. The paradox here is this young man who now knows who he really is, who definitely plays his heart out every game, still isn't going to define himself by whether he wins or loses. Inside, he does know who he is. And because of that and a lot of God-given talent, for sure, he wins more often than he loses. But you know what? He isn't going to go into the stands, drink a bunch of beer, and pick a fight over it. What does he know? That so many fans, so many of us, including me for way too many years, didn't know. He knows above all that God loves him. He knows wherever he goes, whatever he does, he is not alone. He knows above all, as Millie says, God is love. And he loves God with all of his heart. And this is what innately defines his life. He knows one other thing too, and maybe I'm projecting here because this is my own experience. All of those fans drinking all that beer are living a distraction. They don't want to look at who they truly are. It's too painful. We all go through stuff in our lives. Some of it's hard, and it's harder for some than others. But one thing we know for sure, no one gets out of it alive. So what matters most is how we decide to live our journey. Often people tell me how, and I quote, God let me down. If God really loved me, he wouldn't make me go through all of this, if there is even a God at all. If there is one thing I know for sure, it is this. As Millie says, and I believe it, know it, and try to live it, God is love. But to know it, to feel it, we have to open our hearts and be willing to receive it. And that's the challenge. Sometimes we're hurting so much, we can't face our own pain. It's too difficult. It's too hard. So I'm going to drink beer, take drugs, eat some more, obsess over modern-day gladiators crushing each other to get the ball, put in too many hours at work, try to find total happiness in a relationship. The beat goes on. I'd like to share something with you, a quote I carry with me every day that I go to all of the time to remember and for guidance. There is no coming to consciousness without pain. People will do anything, no matter how absurd, to avoid facing their own soul. One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. This is from Carl Jung, in my mind, one of the greatest psychologists ever. One does not become conscious by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. We have to examine our own lives. We have to put down the distractions. Yes, we are spiritual, but we are also human beings. When we better understand our own lives, I believe only then can we take on our deeper spiritual truth. Another great thinker named Ernest Holmes, who founded Science of Mind, also said, Freud, the psychologist, was a mechanic. He knew how to fix the car, but he didn't know why the car starts. What he's saying here is that the path through healing is through God. We have to look at our past. We have to deal with what has gone on in our lives, but we have to know God is always there to help us, to guide us, and always know, above all, that God loves us. Maya Angelou, who lived a horrible life as a child in her younger life, but who went on to become one of the great contemporaries of poetry, began to change her life when she first read a quote from William Wordsworth. Wordsworth wrote, and hear this, "We all come from the Creator, trailing clouds of glory." At that moment, she said, she began to turn the page in her life. We are all creative. We may have it beaten out of us or kicked out of us when we are children, or we may never have the chance to trust ourselves, but we all come from the Creator, trailing clouds of glory. A few years later, Maya's voice teacher had her read a passage which called for her to repeat over and over several times, "God loves me." She said it touched her heart deeply. "I was struck with the gravity and the grandeur of it all. At this moment, I am exalted. I am taller than the tallest trees. That entity that created leaves and flies and rivers and stars loves me." So my question to you tonight is this. Are you a fan sitting in the stands watching your life go by, consumed with distractions of one kind or another? Or are you going to be the star of your own life, down on the field, giving it all, the best you got? The choice is yours. Think about it. The answer will tell you if you're going to win the biggest game of all, which is your life. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Thank you very much.